Blog Talk.
Welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck of katelovingschenck.com, author of the upcoming book, Prayer Prescriptions, Spiritual Remedies for Long-Lasting Health. And also, I am the host of the show. My guest tonight is Jordan Gray, author of The Seventh Major Understanding, A Message of Awakening. Jordan channels an entity called Joshua, and he will explain how he does this and what it means for him. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is Jordan Gray. Hello, Jordan.
Hello, Kate.
How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm doing very well, thank you. And how are you?
Well, great. I think we should consider this an extension of the show's third anniversary. So we can celebrate that as we go on into this wonderful hour. And I really loved your book. I think that it's something that people could pick up, you know, just like the Seth material, which is something I know that people listening. Whoa. Sorry, I have no idea why that's doing that. You think Josh was playing around with me?
Oh, I hope not. No, I don't think that he would do that. But
no,
you know what?
That's the first time that's ever happened, where it just came out of nowhere without any kind of indication on the switchboard that it was actually doing it. But no, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, sometimes the electromagnetic fields around us do change when there's a different presence near us. And, it could cause a glitch. You never know.
Oh, well, it did. Anyway. I am.
So the fun begins.
Yeah, I love this. This is great. The test material. This might be a really stupid question. I know that, let me just say that Seth is something that back in the 70s, Jane Roberts wrote the Seth material. I think a lot of people know what that is. If not, Jane Roberts channeled Seth, and a lot of us were very, very taken by this. And this might be a stupid question, but a lot of us wonder, well, what the heck happened to Seth after Jane Roberts passed? And I know that's not something that even is a question. It's just kind of like a question that is of interest in a sort of oblique way or abstract way. I mean, do you have any answers for that at all?
I will surely share with you what my opinion is on that and how Joshua views it, and we'll just see what happens. My opinion is, of course, nothing happened to Seth. Seth is still very viable, as he calls himself, energy, essence, personality. And
right.
He still communicates with a lot of people here on the earth plane. So he's still very, very active in teaching, just like he was when Jane Roberts was present. However, since Jane Roberts was his chosen channel to bring forth all of that material. And so now that Jane Roberts is not in body, not physically in body, he is still teaching, and yet his chosen channel has moved on. Now, there was a woman named Susan Watkins. She brought through some Seth channelings, but it just wasn't the same. It's just not the same energy. You know, every and let's just call them entity or energy, essence, personality, or spirit, whatever shoe fits you. Whatever they are, they all have their own chosen frequency, their own vibrations, and they mm-hmm. will find the one that vibrates best with them or easily with them so that their channel gets really clear.
Right.
And so, so Seth chose Jane, and Jane chose Seth, you know. It's a very mutual thing. And so there's nothing happened to Seth. He is still very active in teaching. Very, very active.
I just don't know. It isn't the same, though.
True.
You know, as it was. It's where is this entity? Anyway, for those of us who were really into Seth, I understand that nothing really happened to Seth. And I am interested, though, in your experience with Joshua. And I had read in your book that you had thought, or not thought, but you had heard Joshua speaking to you from a very young age. How did that work for you? That's very interesting.
Well, you know how it worked for me was just very unexpected. And so because I wasn't aware of it being anything unusual, let's say, I thought it was normal, you know, that every child or every adult had this other voice talking to them in their heads all the time. Not until I really, in earnest, sought out the skills to channel or really wanted to develop an open channel, did I realize, oh, I see. Joshua has been talking to me my whole life and wants to communicate with people through me. And so I want to mm-hmm. allow that to happen.
At what age what age were you when that occurred to you? This wasn't something that every child experienced.
Well, you know, it didn't really occur to me at all. It was the 1980. It was 1980 when I decided I really wanted to earnestly seek channeling, and that's when it opened up for me to realize that Joshua is the source of my soul, the very entity from which my spirit comes, and so it's very natural, of course, then that this presence has been with me all my life, and I think that's true of everyone. Everyone is channeling all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is channeling all the time. And some of us just make it look more interesting, I guess. Let's just put it that way.
Well, from the very first time that Joshua spoke to you, was he telling you about the seventh understanding?
Oh, no, hell. I was 4 years old. I was 4 years old the first time I heard Joshua address me in his own voice, very loud and clear. And in the moment, I was in my own bedroom upstairs, unsupervised, right? And I was playing. And at the time, I had a nightlight that didn't have an on-off switch, so it had to be plugged in and unplugged, you know. And mm-hmm. I decided to play around with this plug-in thing, this outlet thing. I'd been told, of course, not to by my parents, and so what a kid to do as soon as the parents are gone, right? So I thought it would be interesting to put my little finger between the prongs and plug the thing in. And just as I was about to do that, I heard this very loud, "Don't." And my goodness,
mm-hmm.
I was really quite sure I was alone in the room, and I actually turned around to see if someone had come up the stairs. I mean, that's how human that voice was to me, how very present it was. And there was no one who was physically mm-hmm. going to stop me from doing what I wanted to do. So again, I started to proceed with my little plan. and then I heard, "No." Oh, my goodness. Well, that was even really forceful. I mean, it was loud and very forceful. And yet still, there wasn't any body in the room with me to stop me.
Uh-huh.
So, being a child and having a determined plan, I went ahead and started to plug the thing in. And there was this tingling, of course. It started immediately in my hand and traveling up my arm at light speed. And for some reason, I was kind of pushed back or knocked back or let go of it anyway. Somehow, I kept from electrocuting myself. And then that voice would occur sometimes through my life when I was in situations where I might be doing something that could be risky or hazardous or in a situation where I might be in danger. So then I started to think of it like, oh, maybe this is a guide or something, you know.
Yeah.
Some kind of guide that's here to keep me out of trouble. But it didn't work.
Right.
I managed to get into plenty of trouble anyway. And you know what? Through it all, Joshua just loved me. And he just, unconditional love is all I ever received from Joshua. And that was the first true feelings of unconditional love I experienced in my life. No matter what I did, and no matter how I went against Joshua's guidance, he was always just loving to me.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
That's beautiful. Well, I'm curious now, your family, did you share with them any of this as when you were a kid, or did they have a sense that this was going on?
No. And really, you know, neither did I. I'm well into my 20s by the time I start thinking this is probably a guide for me, you know.
So,
my family was agnostic, I guess would be the right word. We didn't do church. We didn't have any spiritual guidance. My parents weren't faithful of any way that I knew. They didn't worship anything. So I had no spiritual guidance whatsoever. And I guess, you know, sometimes I think, well, that was a benefit because I wasn't trained in any doctrine that I had to unlearn.
Or be afraid that this was like a freaky thing.
Pardon?
You know, you weren't afraid that this was a freaky thing. I mean, in other words, if you were raised with a very heavy duty Christian doctrine and of judgment and Jesus carrying the sword, then you might have really been afraid of what was happening.
You're right, yes. I've had a lot of Christians confront me with some kind of fear that I am like demon-possessed or something, and I just have to say, well, you know, believe what you want to, but I know this has been good for my life, so I let it be.
Now, how did you share this with your girlfriends, like, you know, with your significant others and so forth? Was it something that they were, you know, receptive to?
Yes, I was in a long-term committed relationship when my channeling of Joshua began to evolve, and my partner at the time, a very loving woman named Rhonda, was just completely supportive of my doing whatever felt right for me, follow my own path, and she was just supportive and very loving. And later on, years later, she also began to develop her channeling skills, and she could channel Joshua. And I'll tell you, that was so fascinating for me to hear someone channeling Joshua to me. And you know what was funny, Kate, is I would hear in my head just moments before she would say it what his words were.
Exactly. Oh, my God.
Word for word. So it's kind of almost like an echo chamber effect. It was really, it was quite the experience.
That's a neat thing. Well,
it was fun.
So do you actually speak like Jane Roberts used to speak for Seth? Do you actually have sessions where people come and listen to you channel Joshua?
Yes and no. Early on, I did a lot of that type of channeling for people, although Joshua is not the least bit interested in doing anything of a psychic nature. You know,
right.
He's not interested in trying to tell people what to do with their lives or,
right.
you know, what's going to happen in their romance or anything. But Joshua, from the very start, wanted to teach this philosophy he calls the seventh major understanding. And he began to teach it to me the moment I earnestly connected with him as my channel.
And that was,
yes,
in, that
I did,
was in your
I did 20s. Yes, in my late 20s. I'm an old man. You know. Anyway, and I began to channel Joshua for groups and with individuals. And in this channeling, it was always present his compassion for us, his love for us, and his wish to shine a light on a new path, a different way of looking at some things that might help us reconnect to our oneness and move forward toward this goal of a transformation where we are going to live together in peace and love with an abundance of everything for everyone. And that has been his goal from the start. And I became a diligent student of the Seventh Major Understanding
uh-huh.
in 1980 and uh-huh. have studied it, and then wanted to do more than study it. I wanted to live it. And so
you want to live
been,
it, yeah.
Yeah, I want to live it. So this has been the progression of my personal and spiritual journey.
Mm-hmm. So that's fascinating, because it sounds like an evolution, just like the seventh major understanding. Can you tell us what that is?
Gladly, Kate, and thank you for asking. Well, the seventh major understanding, basically, the whole thing is a message of oneness. And mm-hmm. it's looking at oneness in ways that are not as typical as what we're taught through Eastern religion. So
yeah.
Joshua has his own perspective on how these things occur. But the message
mm-hmm.
of oneness is the single major understanding. And Joshua broke it into these seven portions just for the simplicity of teaching. And
mm-hmm.
he also taught me that this is an analogy of the one, again, being divided into parts, and yet none of the parts are separate. All of the parts work together, and everything comes back to the one simple definition of all that is, and that is there is no separation at all.
Mm-hmm.
There's only
mm-hmm.
oneness. And also in this book, Joshua tries to provide tips and suggestions about how we can change our personal reality. So the seventh major understanding includes something that Seth talked about a lot, which is you create your own reality.
Mm-hmm.
And Joshua teaches this from a perspective that goes far beyond the law of attraction.
Right.
But, of course, it includes the law of attraction. Absolutely
mm-hmm.
includes the law of attraction. So that is a big part of our creating our own reality, and yet it goes deeper than that. So in this book, he tries to give us these suggestions, these guidance, if you will, in a way that we can see how our personal reality affects the local reality, which affects the global reality, and it comes back to you are the one that changes the world. Because
wow, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there's only one being here, Kate. There's only
right.
one here.
Yeah,
so
see, you know, and the one eternal moment that you discussed there, I had a channel on the show last night who I'm pretty sure that all the wonderful entities say about the same thing, that we live in one eternal moment. There aren't any past lives or future lives insofar as we're all living all these lives at the same time.
Correct, yeah. I'm in total agreement with that, and it intellectually is easy to grasp, and yet it took time for me to
mm-hmm.
really integrate that into how I live my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So do you feel like you actually look at life from a very spacious viewpoint because of the
absolutely.
yeah.
Absolutely, yes. With my... you know, being able to take the seventh major understanding out of my head over time,
uh-huh.
taking it out of an area of the intellect and letting it integrate into my heart, I
uh-huh.
am able now to feel the oneness, and I more than understand, I actually live my knowledge of this moment, being that I am the eternal now. That eternity, that I don't have to wait for eternity to start. You know, I am the
yeah.
eternity now. There is no beginning and there is no end. And it all occurs right now. And this can be confusing. So if you don't mind, I'd like to talk about the subject of concurrent time for just a moment.
Oh, that would be great. Thank you.
Okay. And I want, first of all, I just want your listeners to know, and maybe for you to know, that whenever I'm talking about the seventh major understanding, Joshua is very, very close to me. And you don't know Jordan, and you don't know my Jordan-ness very well. So you probably don't recognize that there's something added to my voice right now. There's something different in my energy. It's just not my Jordan-ness. It is beyond that. So please, if you can, allow for pauses. Sometimes I pause to really make sure I'm getting clear information from Joshua and I'm saying what it is he wants said. Because that's my commitment to him, my promise to him. So anyway, talking about all time being now, Joshua taught me a very easy way to look at it. And yet it took me a long time to get it. So this is a paradox. This is one of the challenging paradox of understanding that we are spiritual beings while we are also integrating this spiritual into physical reality. So while I am a human being living a lifetime, time is built right into this agreement of being human. And I enter a lifetime at what looks to be an assigned moment, the hour of my birth, and time will progress in a very linear way until the moment when I choose to depart. Yes? So, what Joshua wants us to get in that is the fact that truly it didn't begin and it cannot end. It has always been. And every lifetime that you are connected to through your soul is always now, only ever now, and only ever here. There is only one location, and that is here. There is only one time, and that is now. And there is only one being here. So anything and everything and everyone you can think of, say to yourself, I am that too. I am that too. There is nothing you can think of and nothing that has been done, can be done, will be done that is not you doing it. So, to look at concurrent time and to get a better picture of it, Joshua said to imagine myself in a boat, and of course that boat is my vessel, and I am in this vessel, and I have come into this river of time. And this river of time has very set coordinates located in space. So I am in this boat, in this river of time, and from my position in the boat, I can look back. I can look back and I can say, oh, yes, there are the landmarks I have passed. There are the events that I have passed. So I think they are behind me as I sit here in my boat right now. I can only look back right now. Right now is the only moment in which I can look back at the river. So I'm not going back in time, but I am right here, right now, looking at landmarks I have passed. Now I can also look ahead. Now I can look down the river and I see, oh, you know, I can't see too far. The river kind of bends. There's a bend in the river, but I assume that the river goes on beyond the bend. And I can see a little ways forward, and I think this is the direction I am going. This is the path I will follow. Now, Joshua said, imagine that this vessel begins to rise, and it floats high, high into the air. And from this 20,000-foot view or higher, you can look down at this river, and you see it starts and it ends right now. That is how it naturally is. Even in your world, you will see. The river starts and the river ends right now. And from this vantage point, as you look at the river of time, you can see that there are branches. There are tributaries flowing off of this river. There are alternate directions that you could have taken your vessel in. And all of those branches begin and end right now, only now, only now. So from this vantage point, high, high above the river of time, you realize that you can get back in it at any point. You can get back in the river of time at any point. And once you're back in it and your boat is in the flow of the river of time, it looks to you as if time goes in one direction. This is an accepted framework for which living on Earth is a part of. In order to live a lifetime, we accept a framework of reality. And that framework is that there are the three dimensions of space and the one dimension of time. So we have agreed to operate within this framework in order to manifest. And if we don't accept the framework, we don't have to, but if we don't accept the framework, we don't manifest here. That's simple.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, to recognize that all time is now and only ever now has been extremely expansive to my understanding that I just live in this moment as if this is my only moment. And that's all that I need do. Just live in this moment as if this is my only moment. Because it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that has changed my life a great deal. So thank you for letting me go on and on about concurrent time. I hope I've not been too boring
about
that.
Now, let me just tell the people that are possibly tuning in at this point that we're talking to Jordan Gray, who channels Joshua. And Jordan is the author of The Seventh Major Understanding, A Message of Awakening. Well, concurrent time is something that people have no idea about at all. In the worlds that I travel in, I mean, they can't even begin to grasp it. However, the idea of living in the present moment is now gaining some recognition in the world.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what really counts, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Do our very best to be present right here, right now, doing what I'm doing in this moment.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just starting to, I suddenly have a wondering if when we pass, when the moment comes, when we pass from, well, not when the moment comes, obviously, the moment is here now, but I'm saying if we leave this plane of existence, can we just manifest in other realms of existence, like planets or, you know, asteroids or something? Can we leave this planet and go somewhere else? That's what I was wondering.
Everything and anything is possible.
Yeah.
Joshua
yeah.
never rules out any possibility. If you can imagine it, you can create it.
Yes.
Yes. And you don't have to wait until you depart this world to do that. No waiting.
That's right.
Eternity is now. Yeah.
Eternity is now. Yes,
yeah.
It's all in divine order.
Yeah.
Well, tell us the major understandings of 1 through 6, if you would.
Sure, I'd be glad to. So, basically, once again, though, before I go into this, I want to make it perfectly clear. There's really only one understanding.
Okay.
And Joshua split it into 7 parts for the purpose of teaching. And that's all. There's one understanding that explains Joshua's true point of view about humanity and our existence and our development, etc., and so on. So there's one major understanding, but Joshua split it in 7 parts for teaching. And
right.
none of these occur concurrent, or none of these have to occur separately. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yep.
They are all concurrent. They all happen at once. So none of them have really begun, and none of them are really finished. They're
right,
all
right.
just happening. Okay, so the first part of the 7th major understanding, Joshua talks about physical reality, and he shares with us from his point of view how the source itself sent out from itself, portions of itself, to explore and experience more of itself. That's how Joshua explains the idea that the one decided to interact with itself, and the one became many, so that it could just interact with itself, so to speak. Basically, Joshua believes the one consciousness that is all that is knew itself total and complete in an instant, and yet wanted to explore all of its potential, all of its possibility, everything it could possibly ever, ever create. And so sent out from itself these portions of itself and endowed in those portions their own ability to create. So the first major understanding is all about that physical reality. The second major understanding is what he calls psychological interaction. Basically, just in a nutshell, the one consciousness that is all that is provides us with many tools, and arising from this consciousness is a tool called mind. And Joshua talks about the mind being the bridge constantly for us between what is perceived as physical reality and our spiritual self, our whole self. So mind is constantly bridging these two different, not different, but these two, well, let's say different, yeah, different forms of reality. Although they are different, they cannot be separated. Let me make that really clear. So this physical reality is a manifestation that we chose to create with fixed coordinates of time and space so that we could come here and play at a lifetime, having a lifetime, and yet we have this mind that arises from the one consciousness. And you know, you and I, we choose to have our own mind, don't we?
Right.
I have my own mind, and you can't change it. Only I can do that. And
right.
I give you the freedom to have your own mind. But from Joshua's point of view, that is illusion, that there really is only one mind here. And yet, because I'm going to play this identity called Jordan, I get to choose this part of the consciousness that I call my own mind. And I get to think that it's private. I get to think that, you know, you can't read my mind. And nobody knows what I'm thinking until I tell them, and so on and so forth. From Joshua's point of view, this is illusion. And yet, in order to play at having a lifetime, we get to choose to believe that. And it's great. I mean, I think it's a real blessing to be able to have my own mind and think that I'm the one completely, totally in charge of my own mind.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The third major understanding, or the third part of the one understanding, Joshua addresses our power to create. And in our power to create, that sometimes we experiment with different ways to use our power. And sometimes the results of how we use our power create unpleasant results. So we're really kind of learning how to use our power to create in ways that allow us to enjoy our human existence and live our true nature. So the fourth part of the seventh major understanding is our chosen role of stewardship. When we agreed as humanity to come into existence on a planet, we made a commitment to this planet, for without it, we have no place, right? This is our local here. Here is our home.
Right.
Earth is our home. So we made a commitment to stewardship of our home. You take good care of your home, right? You maintain it. You want to make sure that it's in good condition. And if you take good care of the one that gave you life, and that is our earth, gave us life, then our earth will sustain us. And yet, if we take advantage of, let's say, or misuse the gift that's given, and unconsciously mistreat our home, it might begin to become uninhabitable. Uninhabitable. So that's a lesson we're also engaging in learning, and there are so many people here now really you know, waking people up to this. Time to wake up. Time to wake up. We are the stewards here. So the fourth part of the seventh major understanding is about our stewardship. And that spills over from just the commitment to our earth, but also to each other.
Right.
To love and care for one another. And then the fifth major understanding, or just the fifth part of the one understanding, Joshua goes into our freedom. Oh, how I love my freedom. And he teaches freedom in a way that, you know, actually Joshua sees freedom and destiny coexisting, and coexisting quite harmoniously, that there really is no conflict between the idea of free will and destiny. That's a paradox that it has taken me some time to wrap my mind around as well. And there are times when I just accept it, well, that's just a puzzle for the mind, and I'm going to surrender that and let it go. I don't have to figure it out. All I know is that I am taught that I have free will in every moment of now to make my choices. And every choice I make is a seed I am planting that is my harvest of moments to come. Now, that may sound paradoxical, because here we go, talking about, well, time is real. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Well, no, it's not. Well, that also is a puzzle for the mind that I don't have to figure out. All I need to do is live in my now as if it is the only moment of life, and everything else falls together. So anyway, the fifth major understanding is about our freedom. The sixth part of the seventh major understanding is about spiritual family. Now, this was a really challenging chapter for me to write, I'll tell you, Kate, because the whole seventh major understanding, I mean, I'm writing the whole time, it's working, it's building, it's always talking about oneness. And now, oh, spiritual family, we're talking about being split into groups. Oops. Whoa, that doesn't work. It doesn't fit. And again, it's like, okay, Jordan, just let it be. But what Joshua is trying to convey in this is that we incarnate in familiar groups. And we have chosen this group, and this group has chosen us, so that we recognize each other and work together or play together in this lifetime toward achieving certain incarnational goals. He did say that in every lifetime we invite new players into our theater to play new roles and to get to know us. And yet there's only one being here.
Right.
And yet to say, you know, 7 billion people are my family is true. And at the same time, though, I only interact with maybe 100 people. Very big difference there, yes?
Right.
So spiritual family is all about choosing a familiar group in which to act with as I go through this incarnation, because certain members of this group are willingly and lovingly taking on roles I want them to play for me so I can see deeply into all that I am. And I, too, am playing roles for members of my spiritual family so they can look in the mirror and see deeply into who they are. So spiritual family was just a big challenge for me, Kate, because it seems to disagree with, you know, oneness, right? Like somehow we got split into groups all of a sudden.
And, yeah.
And I have come to peace with it. And I have learned to grasp it in the way that Joshua teaches it so that it's not something contradictory. And yet again, throughout the book, the seventh major understanding, there are paradox. There are things that seem quite contradictory and yet are both true, like the fact that Joshua sees free will and destiny as harmonious. Like, okay. Anyway. And then, of course, the seventh major understanding itself contains within it all of this and these three pillars that Joshua builds upon throughout the book and repeats in many different ways. There's only one here. There's only one now. And you and I create our own reality. And the reality that I create and the reality that you create come together to create a local or regional reality, a global reality beyond that. So you really are inseparable from the global reality. And of course, he talks about within the seventh, the accepted framework of time and space, so that we can have a lifetime, so we can really be here on this planet thinking, this is real. I'm having a real life. Of course,
yeah.
You know, Kate, had you been given a real life, you would have gotten a manual.
Right. Right.
I do mean to be funny there. I hope that wasn't insulting to anyone.
Well, we do have a caller, but I just want to quickly ask that you talk about the golden age, and it seems that a lot of people are predicting this kind of world of peace and harmony that is coming about because of the end of the Mayan calendar, and that basically a lot of this has already taken place. And as my guest last night said, Amy Flynn, that the corporate, you know, there's so much weird stuff going on in the world with the corporations and the stupid election and that kind of thing, where they are actually in a death throe, she said, where all of this is about to come to an end with all of this crazy greed. And, you know, we see a lot with all the Occupy movements, but also with all the uprisings in the world last year, with the end of dictatorships and so forth, that would be that would kind of play out, that the end of the old world as we know it, of competition and people fighting each other and just not getting along, that all of this is about to end. And that would be what the Golden Age is all about, isn't it?
Yes, in many ways, absolutely. Transition, it's about changing. You see, there's really no requirement that we make this transition, and yet it calls to our creativity. It calls to us and says, hey, here's a new game to play on planet Earth. How about global peace? Oh, wow. Now, there's
that would be great.
A challenge to our creativity. Yeah, something we have yet to manifest in our known history anyway. And so let's do it. Let's figure out how we can make that happen. And so, yeah, there are a lot of people participating right now in making this transition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just as any birth, there can be pain with it. But it doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be. So birthing this golden age doesn't have to be painful. And yet what happens is while we're living on this planet that is dominated by fear and creating a fear-based reality, then when change comes along, people are afraid of it. So there's this fear of letting go of the old ways because we don't know what the new ways are. So
yeah.
I can't let go of my old ways when I don't know what the new thing is I'm going to do. So fear comes up within us. We fear for our security. We want security. So we hold on to things that are really no longer serving us out of a lack of understanding of what to grab onto and what to move into. Yeah.
Right.
So
right.
Interesting. And I just do want to say Joshua doesn't put any stock in dates, of course, because time means nothing to him. But if there is going to be a great global transition, it's already occurred. There is a planet Earth already with people living on it in peace, harmony, and abundance. So it's already there. We just need to tune into it and bring it closer to us now.
Well, as you already said, it's not a matter of waiting for something out there to happen. It has to, first of all, happen within. And then you'll see the change.
Absolutely.
So as long as people are arguing and complaining and family units and and talking about what this one did and that one did, and there's no forgiveness, well, of course there's going to be a lot of war-torn experiences. But until people can find peace of mind within and just allow things to happen in a just accepting that all is well and that all this stuff is not there to fall, and all the fear has to go away. You know, you have to really work on inner fear, I think. And but there's so much that can happen that is really beautiful, and that only can start within.
Yes.
So let's see here. You went through the major understandings. Did you have anything else you wanted to say about that?
No, I think that that covers the series of the major understandings anyway. There were some things I did want to say about the concepts within the seventh major understanding and how it can be a paradox and a challenge for the mind to wrap itself around that. And the way to find peace within for me has
mm-hmm.
just been to get into that energy of acceptance and to
mm-hmm.
accept that there is really no right or wrong way to do it, and you can't make a mistake, so just relax.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that certainly I see where you live in America, over in the West Coast America, as being more relaxed than the East Coast America, but once again, what happens there comes to us about 5 years later anyway. So,
oh, that's funny.
It is very funny. Well, what do you want your readers to learn after reading the Seventh Major Understanding?
You know, that's a very good question. Thank you so much for asking.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I just want to say, really, the Seventh Major Understanding does not intend to provide any black and white kind of answers. You know, there isn't any it's this way or not kind of stuff. There's no
mm-hmm.
intention of that at all in the Seventh Major Understanding. So it is my wish that the people who are intended to read this book will find it, and they will get out of it what is best for them. So Joshua
right.
claims to be a teacher of teachers, and he tells me that the ones most drawn to his book are the healers and the teachers and the change agents here now that are
mm-hmm.
helping shine the light on a new path. So I guess if a reader gets into this book and just makes any kind of step forward into a stronger feeling of connection with all that is, that would just
mm-hmm.
be wonderful. I'd be delighted. And I would like to talk a little bit about that ripple effect. You know, on the cover of the book, there's a drop of water falling into a still pool. And you
sure,
can see
pretty.
The ripples going out from it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is mentioned in the book only once, but Joshua chose this cover very carefully
mm-hmm.
because, you know, as human beings, oftentimes we will observe that. We'll see, you know, the pebble goes into the pool and the ripples go out. And we pay attention to what's happening on the surface. And we forget that beneath the surface, there are changes happening, unseen, that
mm-hmm.
are allowing these ripples to go out. And above the surface, in that which is formless, the air we breathe, there are also changes happening while those waves are going out. So these vibrations are very important. And what Joshua makes reference to is that every thought I have, every thought you have, is a pebble you drop into the pool of mass consciousness. Every feeling you have is another pebble you drop in the pool of mass consciousness. And it ripples out from you in ways that you are often unaware of. You are a powerful creator, and you are
mm-hmm.
a powerful being. And you are manifesting change all the time. You can't turn
mm-hmm.
it off. Mm-hmm. It's constantly happening. So I wish that anyone reading the Seventh Major Understanding would walk away with the habit of looking beneath the surface.
Well, don't you also think that it would be really cool if people would grasp the fact that they have total responsibility for how they are radiating out their power or the lack thereof? I mean, when people are in a victim state, they have no power. If they are constantly...
Or so they claim, yes.
Yeah, or they're in a non-power. They're just not emanating their true light when they are victims of their so-called maladies. So if people could understand that they are only as powerful as they want to be and can be, and it's just their choice, then that is taking a responsibility for the world of your vibrational field. You're taking responsibility for your vibrational field so that you can help others lift them up. And that's a responsibility.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And I'm very pleased to hear that you you live your life in accordance with that belief.
Well, I mean, I just kind of got it anew from reading the book. I kind of got it in a different way, that it really doesn't help anybody to be in a negative state of mind. It certainly doesn't help yourself, but it doesn't help anybody else. And
right.
what would you rather, that whole thing in the book about how the smile actually has a sound to it. Tell us that story. That is a beautiful story.
Oh, okay. Gladly. I had a friend who wanted to look at some of her issues, and she decided to do something called sensory deprivation. I don't know how long ago that fad passed, but there were these sensory deprivation tanks, and you could get in them, and they were completely soundproof. And also, there was no light. It was complete darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So you went into a space of complete dark and silence. And the only, of course, sound in there you took in with you, and the only light in there you took in with you. But, okay, so while she was in this sensory deprivation tank and she fidgeted around a little bit, getting comfortable, and when she got comfortable and relaxed, she recognized that when she smiled, there was a change in the sound. That when she smiled, she could hear something different.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, there are biological reasons for that. But at the same time, for her, it was a spiritual awakening.
Yeah, yeah.
And she realized, yeah, the smile I have makes a difference. And so
yeah,
Joshua just summed it up.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to change the world, if you want to make the world a better place to be in right now, smile.
Right.
Even if you're home alone.
Right. It has just a definite
smile.
Vibrational sound to it.
Yes.
So how can people get in touch with you?
People can reach me. Let's see, I wrote down some because I don't always have this memorized, but I'm available through the website, and that is www.7th, and that's the number 7 followed by TH, 7thmajoruNderstanding.com. And there's a blog page there, and there's a contact form, and people can get in touch with me that way. I also have a Facebook page for the Seventh Major Understanding, and that is facebook.com/7thMajorUnderstanding.
On the Facebook page, that is number 7th.
Right.
Okay.
The digit 7 followed by TH, Major Understanding. Yes,
mm-hmm.
Thanks for clarifying that, Kate. And I also have a personal Facebook page, which you can get in touch with me at. That's facebook.com/, and these are my three initials, J-D as in Daniel, G, J-D-G Speaks. So
okay.
facebook.com/ J-D-G Speaks.
Lovely.
And
are you going to write any more
from any of
books?
Are you going to write any more books with Joshua?
Yes, yes. Oh, I'm so glad you asked about that, too. That was quite unexpected. You know, I really wasn't sure if Joshua was going to want to write any other books because he prefers talking over writing. He really does.
Yeah.
But when right after this book came out and it was in solid form, et cetera, I started getting notions from him about the next book he wants to put together. And
mm-hmm.
it is going to be much more in depth about how the external reality
mm-hmm.
is the mirror to the inner being. And in this book, he's also going to include, and I think there are going to be something like at least 52 of these statements of intention. Statements
mm-hmm.
of intention. Let me mumble over that one more time. So instead of 365, I think he just bit off a smaller chunk and said, well, let's do, you know, one a week, statements of intention
mm-hmm.
that help people just get ideas for themselves. It's not that you need to adopt Joshua's thoughts or follow any of Joshua's intentions, not at all. And yet, he wants to share with people some intentions that might open them up in their mind
mm-hmm.
in how to word their own intentions for the day or for the week.
Right. Well, do you know, can you share just one of those intentions? Or haven't you gotten them yet?
Oh, I've got a few. Matter of fact, some of them are on the Facebook pages, and some are included in my blog. So they're already mm-hmm. there. These are paragraph, they're paragraph length, Kate. As you've noticed, I often go on and on. But I can just pick out a single sentence for, let's say, my intention of growth. I intend to seek first to understand and then to be understood. And that is taught by Stephen Covey.
Mm-hmm,
and it changed
mm-hmm.
my life. Just doing that changed my life. So that's an intention of personal growth because we all want to be understood. And sometimes in that effort, we forget to take the time to understand first. And then,
well, yeah, to understand first means that you're growing up instead of acting like a child.
Yeah, okay.
You know,
yeah,
if you want everybody to understand me without, you know, taking responsibility to understand other people or understand what's going on out in the world or just understand that love is the only thing there is to understand, really.
Uh-huh.
That's the most important thing. Growing up doesn't mean just becoming some sort of mature person and not thinking about yourself all the time.
Right. Gaining some emotional maturity, yeah, rather than letting it all be meaning.
Right, and you know, emotional maturity doesn't mean you can't laugh, because obviously we do a lot of that.
Oh,
or have fun and all that kind of stuff. So.
Exactly, yeah. Emotional maturity doesn't mean growing old.
Yeah, it doesn't. It means growing young and being young.
Yes. Well said.
So we only have 90 seconds left. What are your closing thoughts that you want us to know about?
Well, with only 90 seconds left, I'll share with you something that Joshua often says at the end of his sessions or whatever you want to call it. He says,
mm-hmm.
let the light grow, let love show, and let it be fun.
Oh, I agree. Thank you.
So, thank you so much, Kate. It's really been my pleasure and my honor to be here with you.
Yeah, well, I agree. It was really fun and very insightful and gives us all a lot to think about. And we can get the link for the archive and put it all over the place, okay?
Sounds good to me.
I'm going to be playing some more music, and I will have to press a button to do that this time. And you have a lovely evening. Love to you and love to your family and everybody. So here it goes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank
love you.
Thank you. Love
bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.